options activity has altered the investment landscape. Get an edge on this massive flow of funds with Tier 1 Alpha's Market Situation Report, brought to you by HedgEye, a daily newsletter of the latest moves in the options market and a weekly webcast featuring myself, Mike Green of Simplify Asset Management, and Tier 1 Alpha's Craig Peterson and David Pegler. Go to HedgEye.com/research for more information.
Welcome to the Weekly Notebook Review. I am Robert McGrory. This podcast takes on a bit of a different format, where we are live each week on Twitter Spaces. I crack open my notebook and review HedgEye research with anyone who wants to learn a better way to invest. We feature both HedgEye power users as well as some special guests that might pop in. If you want to learn more about our research, visit HedgEye.com. If you'd like to participate in the live stream, follow me on Twitter at HedgEyeRJM. Now, let's review the data.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Notebook Review. It is March 20th, FOMC Day. But we're not really going to talk much about the Fed, so hope you don't get disappointed. We're going to talk about signals and trend changes and portfolio management, risk management, really. What's going into the portfolio, what's moving up in terms of signal strength, what's moving down, and perhaps getting booted or switching to the short side. Not a lot of that, to be honest. But let's get right into it. Obviously, this is, I'll still consider myself a member of HedgEye Nation. So I'll say this is for HedgEye Nation. If you got any questions or wish to chat, want to ask any questions or wish to convey things that you're seeing within either your notebook or on your screens, please do feel free to come up and speak. This is an open forum. And we'll get right into it, though. So I'm going to lead off really with the fact that the macro show this morning was absolute nails. Tonight's notebook review is probably going to be a little bit short, just because I would really just highly recommend you go back and watch Keith walk everybody through things that he's seeing on the page, things that are jumping out to him. He discussed Apple, he discussed copper, he discussed the British pound, the dollar, the U.S. treasuries, both 10-year and 2-year rates in general. Everything was very relevant for today, and obviously coming into the FOMC. I think one of the bigger things, obviously, that's transpiring on the FX side today, it's a big move in terms of just end-to-end down about 40 basis points here. It's still trading, so we'll see where it closes. But the DXY, the dollar index, US dollar index, down about 40 basis points. Now, again, kind of really, not a whole lot is changing. It's really just kind of in the middle of its risk range for the most part. Again, I'm kind of rounding things off here, but that risk range this morning, from a week over week standpoint, it did move to bullish trend. I suspect it'll probably stay that way tomorrow, but we'll see what happens and keep an eye on that, especially if we get further weakness and may end up moving back to bearish trend. But that risk range, the top end was around 104 spot 30, and the low end is around 102 spot 70. So, the risk range is relatively wide. The interesting thing is both the top end and the low end would put in new 1 month highs or lows, depending on whether we get there. So keep an eye on what's transpiring from both the top end and the low end of that risk range. It's going to help guide you in regards to what is, how to kind of act and what's transpiring with the dollar. I think a big thing with the dollar, and obviously something that we talk a lot about, is the U.S. dollar correlations. And those are really a little bit nuanced in terms of what duration you wish to review and kind of incorporate, right? So they do look a bit different from a 15 day, aka kind of a trade duration, and then they look a lot different going out to a 90 day or even 120 day correlation. So again, I think there's just U.S. dollar correlations are really just one tool in the toolbox, but you should definitely pay attention to them and pay attention to what that correlation may imply. And certainly we're going to get a sort of a deeper kind of inverse correlation on the SPX that was down at minus 0.55 on the 15 day, and on a 120 day it's minus 0.66. So obviously with this dollar down, SPY SPX up, it closed up almost 90 basis points and two fresh all-time highs. So just kind of keep an eye on those US dollar correlations. Bitcoin, another one that's obviously a big call out here. It's up, I think, almost 10%. And I was joking internally before coming on here that Bitcoin's up almost $5,500 and back to levels not seen since yesterday's open. Around there, so again, just huge moves here on Bitcoin, a lot of volatility, and that inverse correlation to the dollar is negative 0.73 on a 15-day. If you go out to longer duration, it's negative 0.54. So that kind of move in the dollar, move in the Bitcoin, does kind of make sense. The interesting thing, again, kind of like the dollar, Bitcoin has a very wide risk range, up to just north of 75,300. And down around 60,500, just to round things off for simplicity. Both of those would be, both would be new 1 month and highs and or lows. On the top side, it would actually be new 1 and 3 month highs. So that setup certainly looks good. You would like to see that low end of the risk range start to creep higher, and that would really start to basically create and indicate that you'd be getting a higher low in the risk range and within that asset class, and so you could actually be grossing up your exposure to Bitcoin. We did add Ethereum and increased, I believe, IBIT last couple of days. So that is I'm pretty sure Ethereum's in there. Ethereum's in there. So again, we were kind of taking this pullback as an opportunity to add exposure to digital assets. Another big call out, obviously, is within the sectors themselves. Always find it's very interesting to review kind of things that worked well or where where assets flowed, right? Where dollars flowed in terms of, you know, post. Obviously, this is a noisy event. It's a bit of a tourist day out there, in our opinion, or certainly within the hedge-eye process. Absolutely nothing changed from before the presser to post the presser, right? So absolutely nothing changed if you're on a shorter term duration. Hopefully you made some money today. I know I did, although I earned a little bit of cash trying to finagle some zero DTEs. That was just my bad. It was just stupidity, actually. But wasn't that big of a deal. Still very green on the day, which is always a pleasure. So that capital flowed to consumer discretionary. That was number one leader today. XLY, industrials are right behind it, and then financials and communications. On the weaker ones, XLV was actually was the leader to the downside. Now it was only down 23 basis points on the day, but it is creeping up on down 33 basis points on the 1 week. In that 1 month, kind of just holding onto it. So it's only plus 58 basis points on a 1 month look back. So again, kind of keep an eye on healthcare. It has been putting in, or it has had a very strong signal. But in the last sort of week or so, you have seen it start to put in, basically a higher low, lower high, and therefore kind of start to lose some signal strength and that kind of thing. So the second up behind that was energy, XLE. Now that's had a big month, like big moves within the last week. It's up almost 10% in the last 9.5%, in the last month. So that's been one of the leaders to the upside on a week. It has been the leader to the upside on a week basis. Where coming into the day, it was up. It was actually leading the charge alongside XLU. So coming into this morning, it was up on a week-over-week basis, XLE, almost 4.5%, and XLU was the next closest, up 1.37%. So again, you know, it's very interesting to see kind of how things adjusted. Obviously, XLE energy down kind of a little bit alongside oil itself, which was also down today. So again, kind of going to be interesting to kind of see what transpires there. If you look at that correlation on a 15-day basis, nothing really to write home about on the near term, but as you go out in time on a 120-day basis with the U.S. dollar correlation, you do have a pretty positive correlation with both Brent and the CRB index at plus 0.73 on for both of those, actually. So just keep an eye on those things. Very important to do so. The other components, too, important to watch are, XLY, XLI, XLF, XLC, all of those kind of led the charge. XLK, obviously a call out. It is bullish trend, but one of its biggest components remains bearish trend on the page. Keith walked through that setup this morning on the macro show. I would highly recommend you go rewatch that that whole show, but certainly that segment alone is worth your time. And if you know what he did in RTAs, you know what he did in RTAs. Felix Wong remains the bear on Apple. And it's been a great short and a great call by him So, you know, kudos to my good friend and colleague, Felix. In terms of other things that are transpiring, EMX China remains an asset allocation we want to have on the books. We also are grossing up our exposure to China, and that signal continues to look good. You had a little bit of a buying opportunity this morning coming on things like FXI or just China-related exposures themselves. They end up finishing the day up about 2.25%. So that was a great call out by the Huntsman this morning, actually. And I kind of piled on and I really drove that home. So hopefully if anybody took advantage of, and Keith also obviously was adding to it as well, along with other EM exposures, ex-China, like Malaysia. So it's been kind of a new one on the page, Malaysia. But EMX China was sitting right there behind British Pounds on Portfolio Solutions. So really, actually, China and EM itself are the top three equity exposures in Portfolio Solutions as of this morning. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how that plays out tomorrow. Again, if you're not as short-term as Keith, not a problem. We also have an ability to help manage those things on a trend duration, right, and longer term. So Dave Salem, Capital Allocation Managing Director, he was on the Macro Show with me this past Friday. Big subject matter there was Japan and the longer term opportunities that lay within the Japanese equities. And that signal continues to look very good despite kind of some just so-so economic data being reported out of them. So that's kind of, again, another good call out there is Japan. We were shorted earlier this year, or coming into the year, I should say, in terms of Hedgeye, but we quickly rotated out of that short. We're not long it officially from a Keith or Portfolio Solutions standpoint, but certainly, you know, if you've got a longer term, you know, tail duration outlook, that's certainly one of the top ones out of David Salem. The other component too is India within EM. That has actually been moving down the list. And again, this is a big call out both on the Macro Show as well as even, I think, the early look, the call the last couple of days. So if you're paying attention, you definitely know that that's been transpiring. And again, these things, it's one of the reasons why I certainly reiterated them here on the Notebook Review and in a lot of different places that I have the privilege of speaking to Hedgeye Nation, is tracking the risk ranges and what they are doing on both a day-over-day and week-over-week standpoint. The move lower, although BSE, in terms of the Indian stock exchange, as long, you know, although that remains bullish trend, you can see that that has been, you know, putting in basically lower highs, and therefore is not signaling kind of back, you know, all time highs, right? So again, these things it's certainly not easy, but if you're paying attention and you're doing the work, hopefully you're noticing them as well. Another big change on a week over week basis is Google. That has moved back to bullish trend. XLC was one that I think we called out a week or two ago as sort of both Google and Meta were kind of losing some strength. I think that was probably about 2 weeks ago, because on the look back window, it looks like 10 days ago. On a 10-day look back, it sort of popped back up. So XLC is a communications ETF sector exposure, closes today with a fresh 1 month and 3 month high. So that's certainly has regained its momentum. And that makes a whole lot of sense, given that Google and Meta are both bullish trend and make up a good chunk of that ETF. Tesla remains a bullish trend. But the list, you know, if we look back kind of 3 weeks ago, that list of the Magnificent Seven, the Elite Eight, whatever you want to call them, you know, that there were definitely really like three or four kind of leaders that were remaining bullish trend from a kind of general standpoint. And today, you know, we actually have all but two kind of back to bullish. So the last two that are bearish on the page remain Apple and Tesla. So everything else is back to bullish trend. What else? I talked about the dollar in terms of currency. And Philip, welcome. I'll get to you in just 1 second. So let me just finish this thought on currencies. Euro. Yeah, so again, with this dollar move, it moved back to bullish trend. Euro has been neutral on the page. I suspect after today's move, it was up 50, a little over 50 basis points. You know, that's likely going to go back to bullish trend. We recently this week, I believe it was, it was either this week or Friday, we went long of the British pound officially through FXB. That sits right at the top of the long only count for Keith McCullough. And that is a bullish trend. The dollar Japanese yen is back to bullish trend. Now, again, a lot of these moves, given this pretty big move in the dollar, a lot of these trends could kind of shift around and be a little bit noisier. And when that happens, it can be just an indication, or some folks I would recommend. It's just sort of more of a wait and watch, right? There's no harm in just sort of sitting on your hands a little bit, letting things develop in terms of a clearer picture of either lower lows within the dollar or a kind of call it finding its footing, or sort of, you know, a higher low, and therefore sort of a potential reacceleration in the dollar. So again, just kind of keep your I think the dollar move and certainly rates is going to be an important one to be paying attention to and watching over the next few days, and certainly the next week or two. Tomorrow we do get some, I believe it's PMI numbers, get reporting, as well as existing home sales and initial jobless claims, as well as continuing jobless claims. So, you know, you're going to get a decent amount of kind of economic data tomorrow. Friday, it's pretty quiet. You just have, you'll have Fed Chair Powell will be speaking at 8 a.m. And I think Barr is back up as well. But yeah, a little bit quieter on Friday in terms of economic data. So with that, I'll take a breather. Philip, how you doing, my man?
Robert McGrory here, Director of Subscriber Development at HedgeEye. Hope you're enjoying our podcast. Start generating alpha with our suite of Sector Pro investing research products. Dive deep into retail, industrials, technology, and everything in between with exclusive access to the sharpest analysts and actionable ideas on Wall Street.
Go to hedgeye.com/research to subscribe.
Enjoy the rest of this episode.
Doing good. Sure. Enjoying the little gift here from Jay Pow Pow.
Yeah. It's fun to win, isn't it? Fun to win.
Yeah. Wanted to start with the volatility discussion.
Yeah, I actually can't. Well, I mean, yeah, kind of haven't talked about that one yet. So great job.
You touched on it a little bit, but I think it warrants a little bit deeper dive since Keith brought it up today, and I what's it called when you put someone in a tweet?
Quote tweet.
Hey, quote whatever. I forget what the term.
I don't know.
But the tier one alpha post, right? So if you guys aren't, you guys listening, if you're not subscribed to the tier one alpha X feed, you probably should be. And there was a gift in there a couple days ago on the volatility scaling comment and how vol control funds would react, especially if 1 month volatility fell below 3 months, right? And so that was something.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Keith has been highlighting the last couple of days. And today we saw a total volatility crash on the front end with breaking trend, right? Breaking below trend.
Yep.
It was clearly negative even as of this morning. Today it confirmed it. The volatility of volatility isn't even down at its lowest level within its own range. So if you want to get into like third derivative discussion.
Yeah, real technical.
Yeah. Like, so you still have room for volatility to go down even further from here. It's been making, the VIX itself has been making lower lows and lower highs for, I think, 3 days now in my notebook. All that is telling you that the moment right now, front month volatility is falling. You're crossing below 1 month vol is crossing below 3 month implied vol. And what that does is this is the toggle the tier one alpha folks have talked about. There's some videos on YouTube, if you guys aren't familiar with them, talking about the throttle and the toggle of how gamma influences volatility, and then how this volatility scaling and the relationship of 1 month volatility and 3 month volatility affects on the toggle side. So Now we've kind of flipped into the, probably, I would think as of today, into this kind of 3-month volatility, which tends to now smooth things out, right? You have a much longer look back window. You have a much broader data set that smoothens out volatility. And they've talked about in their comments, these vol control funds now are basically being forced to buy in that situation. And that is just going to drive flow, right? And that is a massive mechanical impact that has nothing to do with narrative. It sounds like narrative, but it's just math, right? At least that's what I think, Robert. I wouldn't consider it narrative. I think it's just straight math. That's it.
Correct. And I posted that tweet you're referencing in the nest above. So if you're listening in, just kind of pull the screen down a little bit. You can go look at that Tier 1 Alpha tweet from late last night. So yeah, no, I mean, you're right. Like, and again, you can track this on your screens if you want to look. So VIX is obviously, you know, 30-day vol. And then you can look at VIX 3M is 3 months. So you can track that, you know, on my screen. I track 9-day and 1-day as well. And all of them really are acting very orderly, right? So it's like you basically got the VIX around 13. VIX 3 months is, I think, around, let me pull it up again. Sorry, I had it. It's around 15 and a quarter. VIX 9-day, which basically is sort of a 2-week-ish kind of outlook. That's down at 11.5. And the 1-day, you know, basically careened down to about just under 11 today. So again, a lot of that, you know, obviously 1-day, 9-day incorporate a lot of the shorter dated options. And you can see that in the curve that Tier 1 publishes through, which I believe it's also provided in our macro themes deck most mornings, but it's certainly in their market situation report. And, you know, coming into the day, you had basically kind of implied vol up around 17. And I suspect that number tomorrow is going to obviously, you know, fall significantly, probably back down somewhere in the kind of 11 to 12 range would be my guess. And that's a big catalyst, right? It's a big catalyst in terms of just natural flows. If you just kind of think about it, so again, it's not narrative; it's truly just mechanical. And so, you know, that's definitely happening. And you can really, there's certainly potential for further, VIX move to the downside. Now, at the same time, we did, you know, again, what I wanted to call out was that, you know, we got VIX right down to the low end of the risk range. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what that low end of the risk range looks like in the morning. I suspect it probably has a 12 handle on it. But at the same time, you know, Keith was certainly being pretty active into the close, you know, cleaning up some longs and adding a few, you know, a number of things to the short side, and really closed RTAs out at a 6-to-5 ratio of longs to shorts. So, and again, like one of those short sides been on there quite a while. So, you know, he basically added three new shorts within RTAs today, or like basically going into the close. And it was very clear within those coaching notes of exactly what he was doing. And hence why I, you know, wanted to make sure everybody was paying attention and listening to that. So again, like to your point, yes, you could see further, you know, vol weakness. But I wouldn't be surprised if we get a little bit of a, you know, again, just like a little bit of repositioning here. You know, the 52, I think it was the 5200 level. Let me just double check here. The 5225 level was both call resistance and the gamma wall on zero DTEs this morning or coming into the day. And that basically was where where the SPX stopped going higher. If you kind of pull it up, we actually closed almost like right on it, which is an interesting thing. So basically it was kind of like a magnet today. And so that's an important thing to be paying attention to. But the, you know, refresh top end of the risk range was up at 52.45. So with basically with VIX down at around 13, because that refresh risk range came in within the last like 15 minutes of the close. So that refresh risk range had the top end up at 52.45. So that really does give you an idea. And again, the low end kind of came up as well at 55,111. So VIX, as you go out and volatility control funds, if we see 12 vol and long 11 vol on a 30-day window, then you're going to see very systematic buying and flows back into the market. So it can be very supportive to this move higher to all-time highs.
Yeah, and there's a couple things that could be supportive of that. You mentioned the fall in implied volatility, whether there was an excessive amount of positioning on the put positioning that led to that kind of a premium, right? We see when the VANA effects of when that falls drives buyback. And today also just happened to coincidentally be VIXpiration for the month, right?
For the quarter.
For the month.
VIXpiration was last week, wasn't it?
No, that was monthly options.
Oh, my bad. Okay. Yeah, VIXpiration. Yeah, okay. Yep.
So now...
And then you do have the quarterly, you have the quarterly options next week.
So you have the quarterlies coming up. And the one thing I wanted to comment about that is you've got Friday is an off day. So in terms of the, there's a charm effect too that affects gamma where you have one fewer day.
Friday the 29th. It's Good Friday. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. 29th is an off day. So the options expiration is going to be on the 28th.
Correct.
And all that means is there's just one fewer day than normal, right? So the effects of buyback and the buyback driven, the time effects, right? Having less time gets you closer to that point where gamma bleeds off more quickly and it's going to drive buyback, right?
Correct.
We're
front running all of Twitter talking about the JP Morgan caller.
And that's exactly what I was going to say. You read my mind. That was my next point. So that next week, that's all we're going to hear about is the JP Morgan strike.
I'm going to tell everybody who's listening, don't fucking pay attention. Just go read something else. Obviously, it's important. It's a huge flow, but it's just flows, right? So it happens in the quarter.
It happens. You're going to hear about it every day, right?
Every single day for like basically probably tomorrow because that's from Fed's done. They're probably going to, Twitch going to rotate to the JP Morgan caller. Again, it's obviously a big event, or not a big event. It's just it's a very large book, and it gets rolled. So it's going to be very interesting. I mean, I believe I'm actually not going to misquote. I'm going to do some research. I'll come back maybe next week, and I think they go like 20. I won't even say. I don't want to say.
Well, my approach is like the two things I would say based on today. Bless you. Don't get greedy and chase. Like, there's a lot of draw to do that today after what we saw, but you will get clobbered if you do that. Resist, stay true to the process, right? The things that are making higher highs and higher lows and higher highs in a bullish trend, wait for your opportunity. If you miss this, look for something else on days that those strongest signals correct. And don't chase. And then second to that was forget all the narrative around the JP Morgan quarterly options and just focus on what the market is doing, right? It's the same approach for every big event, every vol event that we see on those implied volatility charts for, the 1 or 2 month that tier one alpha comes up with. Every time you have these vol events, it's not about who says what. It's about how the market reacts, right? And then staying true to the process, knowing where the risk ranges are, being prepared in advance. And that hockey analogy was fantastic that Keek made like 2 weeks ago of when the puck's coming to you, you got to already know where you're going to go, right? You got to study that in advance. And I've found myself in the last week even being caught certain days where I see what's happening and I don't really know how to react. And that's like the worst feeling. So don't stress so much about trying to guess what the market is going to do from one of these events or how it's going to behave on options expiration. Just watch it, read and react.
Yep.
Sounds simple, but I just would reemphasize that. That to me is the most effective thing.
I completely agree. And again, if just to kind of round out the point of JP Morgan, December 29th, the SPX closed at 4,769.82. We're now up at 52.24.63. So again, we still got a week to go. But that's, you know, obviously that's a big shift. Those kind of highs or what I'll say is it's more like the January lows that followed, right? I don't know if anybody remembers, but there's about a little bit of a pullback there that first week of January. And those are currently kind of, if you just look at a 63-day window going out in time, that's currently within the window, basically. So you got about another, about 10 days or so. So call it 2 weeks. So by the time you kind of roll into, the first week of April, those lows are going to start to roll out if you look back. So again, just be paying attention to that. And as of tomorrow, your low from February 21st is going out of the 1 month, the 21-day look back. So that close was 49.81. The next day was a gap higher, and it gapped up on the 22nd of February and closed up a little over 2%. So I don't know if you remember that day for the end of February. I want to say somebody big reported, probably. I forget. But, so that basically moves from a closing price of under 49.81 to round things, or 49.82. And then it closed the following day up north of 5,000 at 5,087. So again, that's going to be a big shift from a look back window that you should be paying attention to as well. Now, again, if the price just keeps going higher, we keep pushing up towards the top end of the risk range, and vol falls, really those lower prices don't really matter. It's just a matter of if we get any form of a pullback, and then what does that look like in terms of the lower end of the risk range. As I mentioned, the refresh range was 5,111, which is nowhere near the that tomorrow is basically 1 month low of 5,087. Yeah, great call out.
If you want to get into the now nitty gritty on some things, this morning call out on copper, I thought the intraday action was fascinating.
Did you see my tweet on that?
I'll
post it.
Yeah, I mean, it was so timely, right?
The thing was a fractal thing of beauty. It was unbelievable. I'll put it in the desk. You keep chatting.
For anyone who didn't see that on the macro show this morning, Keith was talking about the trade line. So copper now is a bullish trade and trend. It's been making higher lows and higher highs for several days. But it has corrected in price. Again, continue to make higher high and higher lows. And this morning there was a call out that the trade line, the immediate term 3 week or less trade line trade level was 4.03. And I don't know if it was like right when Powell spoke, basically got right to that line.
I just posted it. It was we might have hit it again when Powell spoke, but coming into the it was there this morning. It hit it like about 5 days ago as well. So it's been a crucial level, and it held it and just bounced right off of it.
It was there. It looked like it did it again.
It was close. Yeah, you're right.
11:58.
Yep. You're right. Yep.
Right before the presser started, basically. Yeah. Right. As soon as he started speaking, and it sounded like, we're not, it was all kind of bullish on inflation. That thing just bounced off that trade line and just ripped. So the thing to consider there, and what Keith was talking about, you see that bounce off the trade line, then the next thing above that, essentially, you've got, we're already above trend. Top end of the risk range. This morning at 420, right? So that's where you would be looking for this thing to go. But we continue to make higher highs for the last several days. So that top end of the risk range is just going to continue to move up if this thing goes up in price, or even if it doesn't go up in price over the next couple of days, that top end of the risk range will continue to go up, right? If price doesn't hit it.
So it may consolidate a little bit,
Philip.
The interesting thing will be like where where the low end of the risk range ends up kind of coming, you know, where, how close it moves up towards the trade line.
Right.
Because right now it's sitting at about 10 cents below it. And if we can get that closer, especially, again, let's just say it moves up north of 4, right? That would be a really bullish signal because you'd be getting a big time higher low there. And again, even at 4, you're just under the trade level itself. But that'd be a really big bullish signal. And you'd get the top of the risk range, obviously, signaling new one and 3 month highs. So yeah, it's a great call out. I think paying attention to that one closely. The component
that was there, it was a fascinating case study. Bouncing off trade,
great case study. Yeah. And then again with on the macro show, I'd encourage everybody to go listen to that and the run through on Apple. I think that was another fantastic case study. I have the team pulled that, and I'll kind of re-air it tomorrow on subscriber orientation, which you can find that on the Hedgeye Education Center. I know, Leo, you were trying to come up. I tried to accept you. So, you know, maybe try one more time if you can. I don't know if you're getting a phone call or what, or just shoot me a text if you have a question or something. But I was trying to let you in there, Leo. Again, this is an open forum. If anybody wants to jump up, have any questions, or wants to talk through what they're seeing in the notebook, I think obviously, you know, happy to do so. There you go. Let's try Leo one more time. Leo can now speak. He's muted, but he can speak.
Yeah, it looks like it worked that time. All right.
I don't know what was happening. I tried 3 times. Sorry about that, buddy, but that's why I called it out. How you doing, Leo?
Good. No, old guys in tech. That's just, I'll blame myself. It's cool.
No worries. No worries, man. It's not always your fault. I've had some Twitter snafus the last couple of weeks. Don't worry about it. I keep muting myself and then talking for like 10 minutes. And then, so anyway, I'm just not touching my phone today. So I'm very careful when I hit any request or like accept requests. Anyway, floor is yours, Leo.
Oh, I just think you put everything in cocoa right now and just go chill, right? plus 230% on the year. I mean, what could go wrong?
Yeah, cocoa.
Could get some cocoa futures and go listen to some more... some more of your guys' shows or just be done. Like, what else we got to do?
Jimmy Buffett.
Easy job. Exactly. Yeah. And this is not financial advice.
No, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a bullish trend, but I don't know about yet.
Yeah, exactly. Leo is an RIA, but he's not really saying this. The joke.
Wait.
That way, when my suppliers call me to their office next week, I can.
In fairness, last week and I think the week before, we were pretty vocal on here. Again, not advice, but I will
pat my own back.
The DBA has had a hell of a run in the last 15 days, and hopefully somebody made some money on that bad boy.
Oh, Robert, like I said, it's your job in 3 months or 4 months when this is over, just to find me in either Michigan or South Carolina and hit me with a bat if I refuse to get out of commodities again. So you have one job, sir. And that's it. So when I'm telling you how much I love oil and I can't sell Occidental or I can't sell this, you come find me and remind me, okay?
I will. I promise I will.
It always feel great. Like the last 6-8 weeks, it felt fantastic, right? And but yeah, it's not easy, or especially when we have all the devices to kind of get us in and out of these things to do things the right way. But no, it's... I'm here as an advertisement for you guys too. The amount of work, if you're an RIA, that these guys do is fantastic. With the calls they do monthly, with you know, the morning call that you guys do with the macro show. I know you've talked about that quite a bit, but the call itself is fantastic. And adding the new oil guy, that's been very enlightening. And I learned a lot the last couple of days too, which is awesome.
Yeah, I'm gonna sit down with him and do a sector head spotlight around here. So I'm going to do one with him and Sean Jenkins, our who took over for Todd Jordan, obviously, may rest in peace. But Fernando's has been a great asset. I think it's been a lot of fun seeing him get into his own on the call this week. And I know from many of the text messages and DMs that I get from Hedgeye Nation, you guys have all been itching for an energy analyst from and to have one as good as him is quite a pleasure. So it's great. You're not the only one. and Leo. I've got, oh, there you go, Joe Beats. Joe Beats is basically, yes, I got to let him guess it again. Joe Beats, welcome, buddy. You've been itching for an energy bull and an energy analyst. And he even listed off some pretty, I was actually kind of impressed. I thought he was going to go like the TSX Venture Exchange for some of these that was going to benefit from the new pipeline that was opening up this morning.
I thought he might too. That was
it was pretty. I think he didn't he mention Dino, right? DINO.
Yeah,
I was like, that's it wasn't obscure per se, but it's like, oh, that's one that you don't hear every day.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. So no, I just was jumping up to say that I haven't heard the word Western Canadian Select on the call ever before, I don't believe. The last time you and I mentioned it was 2 years ago when you started Spaces, and I jumped on with you for a little bit there.
Oh, yeah.
It's fantastic to hear the word WCS mentioned. And just for those that are listening in, WCS is a grade called Western Canadian Select. It is the heavy crude oil that Western Canada uses to price our heavy oil. And it's the what we call the pure grade. So it's going to be the key pricing metric that we use. So to hear Fernando talk about it was fantastic. So I'm really excited that he's on the team.
Hi, Robert McGrory here, Director of Subscriber Development at Hedgeye. Join our entire research analyst team live before the market opens for a deep dive investing analysis, our favorite stock ideas, and our risk manager-in-chief, Keith McCullough's macro overlay. Our team of 40-plus equity analysts discuss key market developments, trends, and our high-conviction long and short investing ideas. You will not get this granular level of insight anywhere else. A video replay, audio version, and analyst summary notes from the call are available shortly after each live show to ensure you don't miss anything. Go to hedgeye.com/research to subscribe and tune in live to the call weekdays at 7:45 a.m. Eastern. Enjoy the rest of this episode.
Yeah, thanks, John. I can't take any credit for it, but it's a pleasure to have him on.
Yeah, a couple other things, you know. We talked about, you guys talked about XLE and how well it's doing. I've noticed, and one of the things that I track is our ETF in Canada is XEG, and that's the ETF out of the TSX, which it hosts most of the big names like CNRL, Suncor, MEG, Cenovus, etc. And I'm seeing XEG outperform XLE. So if any Canadians are on the call and they have the TSX account and they want to play energy, that's a good way of doing it. And you're actually exceeding or keeping up with the XLE, which is fantastic. So that's good to see. And one last thing, and that Fernando talked a little bit about today, which got me excited, is on Wednesdays we have the DOE reports, or EIA, I guess. And so they talk about inventory builds and draws. So, and that's something I watch very closely every week as well. And the key point about that is here we are in the middle week of March. Refinery runs were 15.7 million barrels this week. And typically in the summertime, we run 16.8. So we were drawing crude oil this week at 15.7. And just remind yourself, when we get to the middle of the summertime and we have higher gasoline demand and a whole bunch of other things, typically that's when the refiners are running full. And that's another million barrels a day higher. And that's coming likely down the pike. So something to just keep in mind as you think about this higher inflation for longer period that we're going to be living in.
Yeah. Great call out, Joe.
You bet. I think good to be on again with you.
Yeah.
I'm walking in the freaking snow right now in Calgary as we're getting a dump of 18 to 20 inches of snow. It's going to be awful.
I'm in Connecticut. We're just getting a bunch of rain, but my folks in Ontario, they were dealing with a little snow today too, buddy. But not 18 inches.
I won't tell you what the weather's like where I am.
Yeah, and that's over the next 4 days. But I'm gonna get my work.
Yeah, that's funny. That's good. You can put this, yeah, snow blower to use, that's for sure. Philip, did you have a comment for or a question for Joe?
Weren't we joking like a week and a half ago about EWC finally starting to work?
Yeah, we did.
I mean, it's just like, yeah, these things aren't mistakes, right? They're not coincidences. It's interesting to see crew doing better, the Canadian crew doing better, and then by as a function, the EWC Canada ETF. You've got those multiple quad twos coming up. I mean, the market really is pricing in early for a, right? Because it still shows quad four in Q2. And that thing started to, the EWC started to go like a week and a half. But I'd look at something like that if you're interested. There are a lot of different ways to play Canada, right? Whether you're playing the oil or you want to play the country. And for something where you've got projections for multiple quad twos coming up, if you got a correction in one of those ETFs, then that might be an opportunity where you want to stick to that, play the longer trend and take a trade correction opportunity to buy. Just something to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point. Great point.
And the other thing about Canada is, you know, it's pretty much a resource sector, right? So you have the energies, you have the gold miners, you have the uranium miners. So in addition to the agriculture. So yeah, there's just so many elements that really help Canada. When you have the inflation cycle going upwards, it does very well. So I agree with you.
Yeah, and I mean, uranium, like you said, I mean, almost everything that was long inflation went up today, right? But uranium, that's kind of that Keith has been flipping on the trend basis. Today was up 3%, and you know, tomorrow we might see that positive trade again or positive trend. We'll have to see how it plays out, but right, those things all help to your point of the resource-rich economy and materials all going up.
I've turned the notebook review into the commodity hour. I love it. if we could do like a bourbon select after, like an after party to this, like you guys. Hey, be well, gentlemen. Have a have a great one. We'll chat soon.
Yeah, but sure, really bourbon select. I love it.
As long as you stay away from wheat, soybeans, and corn, still right. Watch out for those three. What I loved was seeing them when you're able to bring in the Hedgeye AI and get confirmation. Like today I saw, I think it was platinum or palladium was a buy. I was just like watching that thing all day. And yeah, it's interesting to you saw that with the British pound today, kind of changing focus a little bit, but Keith went long FXB. And Hedgeye AI was green with a buy
on the pound.
On the pound. So
yeah,
that's the best situation, right? If you got a bullish trend and trade and you've got confirmation on Hedgeye AI, that's your go.
Yeah, no, agreed. Agreed. We'll come back to this in just a second. But just to put a loop on Canada here, a little pretty bow on it, I'm going to give you guys a little inside baseball. New numbers with the macro themes presentation for Q2 coming in tomorrow. I suspect these numbers are going to get updated next. You know, obviously, I'll have some fresh data, but this is the most recent that I have available to us here. So, a little insight on Canada. We are seeing quad four for basically the remainder of Q1 and going into Q2 here. But then the quad twos, both in Q3 and Q4 with the reacceleration on the GDP front and actually some inflation accelerating in Q4. But my point is that from a conditional probability here, even in Q1, your highest other likely probability in Q1 is actually quad four at 34% versus 39.5% for a quad four. So it really is a pretty tight delta in terms of a narrow quad four here, basically moving down from a 93 basis points in Q4 23. To plus 78 basis points here in Q1 is what we're estimating. So pretty narrow range, and we kind of know what those typically kind of a narrow, shallow quad four is often very good for, or is often, you know, back test positively for equities. So that is positive. I think the other interesting thing too in Q2,
although we do currently highest finish probability is a quad four, it is kind of a coin flip actually between kind of like all four quads. So it's a very, again, very similar to kind of the US. It's very a tight range around the X and Y axes. Basically, you've got quad one is the highest next probability at 24%. Quad two is 20.5%. Quad three is 25.5%. And quad four is 29.9%. So it's a pretty tight race here in Q2 as well. And then, and that's just on the growth side of things, whereas inflation sort of basically staying around kind of 2.9 to 3 was an estimate in Q4 going up almost to 3.5. So that just kind of wanted to call those things out in Canada, because I know we got a lot of great Canadian friends up there that leverage the Hedgeye tools and research. And again, you don't always, we don't always provide the conditional probabilities for them, but we certainly have them available for us. And capital within, I see David Salem's listing in within capital allocation. That is one of our ETFs that we have on the board, and it is currently a positive in regards to return prospects for the remainder of 2024. And it's been, Canada's been that way for at least a month, if not longer. So we've been positive in Canada as well within the capital allocation team, which is great. Let me just double check that. I think we went positive. Yeah, we went positive on that this month. This was a new change, so that's good stuff.
Robert,
yeah, okay, that's absolutely awesome. Yeah, totally. Yeah. So we're a recent move, Canada. But yeah, no, it's good. And the one thing I will call on though is, like, Canadian dollar, the Canadian dollar certainly versus the US dollar has been sort of flopping around. So it's like, it was just negative, neutral. I think it went positive for a cup of coffee, maybe. Maybe not. It just went to neutral. It's back down to bearish trend. So just keep an eye on that, because that can be a bit of a drag, especially if you're in the US. That can be a drag. You can just pay attention to the risk range in regards to, what it's signaling. Obviously can help from a growth standpoint, because from the US dollar, maybe put some more capex and stuff into Canada, but for global entities, but at the same time it could hurt some sort of FX and sort of earnings and stuff from any Canadian companies that deal in dollars. So most of them have those hedged, but just something to be paying attention to.
Just something 100%, and I might lose my
back. Oh, no worries,
Robert, but I just want to say that the Canadian oil producers, their costs are all in CAD dollars, but they sell their oil on a US dollar basis, right? So everything in oil is in US dollars. So there is an ARB that the Canadian producers are collecting that really pays off. Yeah, so their expenses are in CAD dollars. They sell their product in US dollars. And that's a little bit of a boon for these guys. So when it gets to 1.35, 1.3, that's okay. They're okay with that. So it's just something that's a little inside baseball to the producer side up here.
Love it. Good stuff. Well, thanks for jumping
in. Hey, Robert, I'm going to have to stash on.
Thanks.
You betcha, man. Talk to you next
time. Yeah, you got it, man.
You bet.
All right, we're coming up on the hour, Philip. Anything else kind of jumping out at you, buddy, that we haven't talked today?
Everything international is wonderful.
Yep.
Just about, right? Yep. And I think that's been a theme for a little bit. Today, Keith's comments on India, I think were great. So we just talked about not chasing things and waiting for your opportunity. Is this your opportunity in India, right? Keep an eye on that if that's something that you're even interested in.
Yeah.
Because everything else is just kind of making higher highs, higher lows every single day, right? Everything in developed Europe. Yesterday, wasn't Keith talking about Austria? I don't even know that there was an Austria country ETF.
Yeah, it's EWO, I think. Yeah, EWO. Yep.
Well, you can look at Ireland, Poland, France, Italy, Germany, all that stuff is, it's all definitely doing well, and plenty of other opportunities in Latin America. Some are hot, some are not. Depends if you got to be really selective there. And then obviously in Asia, he got into Malaysia, and China's doing its thing right now. So lots of opportunities. If you want to get into the weeds on individual countries.
Hi, I'm Keith McCullough, and I wanted to introduce you to my favorite product at HedgEye, the Macro Show. Why is it my favorite product? Well, it's my show. I do that every morning. If you want to get ready for the market day, you want to contextualize all the data, you want to make good decisions, then this is what you should be watching. It's a repeatable process that you can deliberately study, measuring and mapping time series to time series of data. So it's not going headline to headline and getting whipped around. It's actually being so much more dispassionate about it and making good decisions that are data driven. So we'd love to have you on our team. Come join us.
Tune in weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern and on demand anytime. Go to hedgeye.com/research to subscribe.
Yeah, I briefly talked about India earlier. Let me just go back and make sure I got the right risk range today, 313. I always forget what days are Wednesdays. Yeah, so again, I kind of mentioned just, if you're paying attention to the risk ranges, this is one reason why you write them down. Last week, you had a lower, but a higher high on the BSE risk range. So it was 72.205 to 74.731. Today, you get lower highs across the board, right? So 71.807 and 74.101. So again, if you're kind of paying attention, you don't realize, even if it's in a bullish trend, which again, it remains in, but you really want, a strong silver strength. And again, Philip, you and I walked through this at least a week, if not maybe a week or 2 weeks ago. You did a great job kind of reminding everybody, and I think I helped a little as well, but that's exactly kind of, again, if, even though it remains bullish trend, to your point, you kind of maintain exposure to it because you want to, if it regains signal strength, you want to be there, right? You want to have that minimum size position on. But at the same time, the risk management side of things, when you start to see that those lower highs and certainly the lower low, you start to reduce that size. And that's exactly what Keith did, right? He got out of small cap India and has reduced his sizing in INDA to the third from the bottom, right? And again, if we kind of go a little bit one level deeper, and Keith, I think, briefly mentioned this on the macro show this morning, but in Q1, I mean, listen, they put up at north of 8% GDP growth number for the last three quarters, Q2, Q3, and Q4 of 23. So they've been just ripping and roaring on from a GDP growth standpoint. We've got them from an estimated decel to just under 6.5, so 6.44, and kind of hanging around there, 6.40 in Q2, and then back acceleration to kind of 6.69 and 6.95 in Q3 and Q4 respectively. So again, I think, what he mentioned is, listen, there is a quad four here on the page in terms of Q1 and 24. Is the market starting to price that in, right? What I think certainly, again, if you've listened to David Salem at all, if you've had the pleasure of hearing him chat or hearing us chat about it within the capital allocation, webcast, that kind of stuff, a six, call it again, just round it off for simplicity's sake, a 6.5 GDP growth rate for all of 2024 is still pretty significant, growth rate, right? So is this a blip on the radar? I don't know. That's what the signal is going to help you to determine and to risk manage. But certainly, if you do see a higher low or certainly a consolidation of the range within the BSC, within the India risk range, then that would certainly be a signal or one thing to be paying attention to in regards to, okay, maybe this is a time to perhaps gross that exposure back up. If you've got a longer term horizon, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a great call out, Philip. And I think it's a textbook example of how you can both risk manage it on a shorter term duration while having a longer term view as well.
Yeah, that's the beauty of having a multiple duration approach, right?
Exactly right.
And speaking of duration, and earlier we were talking about events, one last joke for you here is next week we're also going to hear about quarterly rebalancing. Going into the last week of the quarter, Our equity, what's up more in relative terms? Equities or bonds? And where's the money going to rebalance?
True story. And yeah, I mean, listen, you had your kind of head whipsawed around in the last few weeks trying to trade rates and what have you. So again, depending on your time duration, basically on the 10-year, you know, these most recent highs kind of coincide with what we saw about a month ago, right around kind of, you know, 4.3%. And we failed there. So, you know, let's see what happens. You know, it's like, you know, still early days as trend levels. The last one I have is down for the US 10-year down at 4.17. Tail obviously doesn't move as much, so that's 4.04. So certainly write that one down, tail on the US Treasury 10-year. Now again, those are about 2 weeks old as of March 7th, I think, but he has kind of been reiterating those levels. I just don't have a fresh one from Keith. So
I think we were at 4.16 as of the 18th.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, and 4.03 on tail. But we're so far from tail right now, right? So that would be as we were talking about earlier, if you break trend, the next, where the next thing is then to go to the risk, top end of the risk range, or if you've got, I'm not explaining it well, but it kind of depends on the order of those lines, right? Yep. But here specifically, if we even got down to 4.16, then you'd be looking for what happens at tail at 4.03, right? Which is basically what happened over the last week.
Yep.
Right. We were down there. We tested tail.
Tail. Yep.
It basically held, right, over a couple days.
It did, yep.
And then we ran right back up the trend, and now we're above it. So,
yeah. You said, I don't know if I might not have just put it in training view, but it's in my notes somewhere. But did you said, 4.16, right? As of 3.8. Yep. I did write that.
3.8. Yeah, 3.18.
Yeah,
March 18th to not confuse anyone with a 3.18 comment.
Yep. It's in my notebook too. I just didn't flip back a couple of days. And I didn't update on TradingView. Silly Robbie. What are you doing? Yeah, what am I doing, Philip? Don't update this. I should be
casting checks. Feeding ducks. That's what you're doing.
It is fun. It is fun to be
doing feeding ducks.
Awesome. All right, man. Well, I think this has been a good little session. So thanks for popping up. It's been a pleasure to have you commenting and participating the last few weeks. So thanks for doing that. You're doing a great job out there. And hopefully everybody who tuned in has enjoyed the show. Obviously, we've got a lot going on. So two macro themes tomorrow from the macro team here at Edgeye. So that is at 11 a.m. Keith and Stein and Josh Steiner. We'll be presenting our Q2 themes for Q2 24. So kind of a big time update there across the board. I will be on hosting Hedgeye or subscriber orientation, which you can find at the Hedgeye Education Center. So that's part of the, you can just click the drop down menu. Again, that's a great one. If you got any kind of questions or if you got any questions, send them in the support. We can certainly try to address them. On subscriber orientation, we also have a lot of kind of Q&A. And next week with that, we're actually going to host a little bit of a, for lack of a better word, I'll call it a seminar, kind of a Zoom seminar. You can remain anonymous if you need to, but again, that'll be open up to subscribers. We can kind of do a little bit more of a teach-in where I can share my screen and we can go through plays, right? We can review some plays and that kind of thing. So put mark down in your calendars that will be on Tuesday. Leave at 11. Let me triple check that though. That'll be on March 26th at not at 11. It'll be at noon, usual time. So noon for about 45 minutes. So again, look for an email to go out tomorrow in that regard. But mark your calendar for March 26th at noon for a bit of a new format there, kind of like a webinar seminar type situation. But with that, we will wrap up. Hope everybody has a great rest of your evening. And again, Philip, really appreciate it, man. It's always way more fun going back and forth. And Leo and Joe, it was a pleasure.
Appreciate your help as well. Take it easy, everybody.
Got it, man. Cheers.
Don't forget to check out HedgeEye.com to get more actionable investing insights from our team of more than 40 research analysts. And check us out on Twitter at our handle, @HedgeEye. This presentation is informational only. None of the information contained herein constitutes an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any security or investment vehicle, nor does it constitute investment recommendation or legal, tax, accounting, or investment advice by HedgeEye or any of its employees, officers, agents, or guests. This information is presented without regard for individual investment preferences or risk parameters and is general, non-tailored, non-specific information. This content is based on information from sources believed to be reliable. HedgeEye is not responsible for errors, inaccuracies, or omissions of information. The opinions and conclusions contained in this report are those of the individual expressing those opinions and conclusions and are intended solely for the use of HedgeEye subscribers and the authorized recipients of the contents. All investments entail a certain degree of risk, and financial instrument prices can fluctuate based on several factors, including those not considered in the preparation of the content. Consult your financial professional before investing. The information contained herein is protected by United States and foreign copyright laws and is intended solely for the use of its authorized recipient. Access must be provided directly by HedgeEye. Redistribution or republication is strictly prohibited. For more detail, please refer to the terms of service at hedgeye.com/terms of service.